Welcome in. In this lesson, we're building a Bassline Theory Jungle Sampler Rack in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple: stack multiple bass layers, control them like one instrument, and then arrange that bass into a proper track-ready phrase. If you're new to this, don't stress. This is beginner-friendly, but the workflow is the same kind of workflow people use to make serious jungle and DN beat edits. We're not chasing one perfect bass sound. We are building a rack that gives us different jobs for different layers, so the low end stays powerful, clear, and musical. The big idea here is contrast. In jungle and drum and bass, the bass line is not just a sound. It's part of the arrangement. It needs to leave space for the drums, hit hard on the right notes, and evolve as the track moves forward. So let's get started. First, set your project up for the style. Put the tempo at 174 BPM. That gives you that classic jungle and modern DNB pace. If you want a slightly heavier rolling feel, you can go a little lower later, but for this lesson, stay at 174. Now set your grid sensibly. Use 1/16 for note programming, 1/8 for arranging bigger sections, and 1/32 if you want fast pickup notes or tighter edits. For key, F minor is a great beginner choice. It sits well for deep bass without getting too messy in the low end. Now we build the rack. Create a new MIDI track and drop an instrument rack onto it. Open the chain view and create 4 chains. Name them sub, mid, res, and texture. That naming matters because it keeps the whole setup organized while you work. Here's what each layer is doing. The sub layer is your weight. This is the clean foundation. The mid layer gives the note its body and identity. The res layer adds motion and aggression. The texture layer adds top-end attitude, fizz, or rhythmic detail. If you remember nothing else, remember that each layer should have a job. If a layer isn't doing something useful that the others aren't doing, it probably doesn't need to be there. Now load the sound sources. For the sub-chain, use simpler or sampler with a clean sign-style sub-sample or a very pure bass hit. Keep it clean. This is not the place for heavy distortion. If it's a one-shot, use one-shot mode, keep the envelope short and controlled, and don't overthink it. The sub should be stable and centered. For the mid-chain, load a short bass sample or a resampled synth note. This is where you can add some character. Put a saturator after it and an EQ aid if needed. The mid layer is where a lot of the note identity lives, so this is a good place for controlled grit. For the res chain, use a detuned saw-type sound, a res sample, or something thick and moving. If you're using stock devices, Waveeatable or Operator can do this well. Add auto filter, chorus ensemble, and saturator to shape it. This layer should feel wider and more animated, but still controlled. For the texture chain, use noise, a vinyl crackle, a filtered stab, or a high mid bass texture. Keep it subtle. This layer is there to add movement and presence, not to take over the mix. Now we separate the frequencies, so the rack works like a proper instrument instead of a pile of sounds. On the sub chain, use EQ8 and utility. Keep the sub mono, and ideally keep it below about 120 Hz. If there's rumble under 25 or 30 Hz, cut it. Don't try to fix an uneven sub with heavy compression. Just control the level properly. On the mid-chain, cut out some low-end mud, usually somewhere below 80 to 100 Hz, depending on the sample. Add a little saturator if it needs more presence. Keep it solid, but don't let it fight the sub. On the res chain, high pass it so it stays out of the sub zone. Something around 120 to 180 Hz is a good starting point. Use auto filter to shape the top end and saturator to add edge. If it gets harsh, tame it with EQ rather than just turning it down blindly. On the texture chain, high pass it much higher, maybe above 300 to 500 Hz, so it doesn't clutter the low end. Keep it subtle and very intentional. Now map the rack to macros. This is what makes the rack really playable. Map sub level, mid level, res level, texture level, bass filter, drive, stereo width, and air or texture filter. If you want a practical starting point, make bass filter control the cutoff on the res and texture layers, drive control saturator on the mid and res chains, stereo width control the width of the upper layers, and keep sub level and mid level easy to access. That sub control is one of the first things you'll want to adjust while arranging. Same with width, keep those close. Now let's write the bass line. We're going for a 2-bar phrase in F minor. Keep it simple and rhythmic. Jungle bass works best when it talks to the drums, not when it fills every gap. Start with 6 to 8 notes total. That's enough to get movement without overcrowding the pattern. Try notes like F, Eb, C, Db, F, and Ab. Use short note lengths and leave gaps. A good DNB bass line often feels strong, because of the silence around it, not just because of the notes themselves. A useful beginner rhythm is something like this: hit on the first beat, another hit early in the bar, then a late syncopated hit. Repeat that idea in bar 2 with a small change. For example, bar 1 can be more open, and bar 2 can answer it with a slightly different ending. That call and response feeling is classic jungle phrasing. Also, don't make every layer trigger the same way all the time. That's a huge beginner upgrade. Maybe the sub plays on every bass note, the mid layer only plays on the strongest hits, the re-centers later in the phrase. The texture layer only shows up at the end of the bar or during a fill. That gives you motion without making the whole thing messy. Now pay attention to velocity and note length. If your sound responds to velocity, use it to shape accents. Stronger hits can be louder or brighter, and passing notes can be softer. If velocity doesn't affect the sample much, you can still use it creatively for volume or filter movement. Short notes give you punch. Slightly longer notes create tension. In jungle and D&B, a small change in note length can make the groove feel much more intentional. Now shape the sound with stock Ableton devices. EQ8 keeps each layer in its lane. Saturator adds harmonics so the bass translates on smaller speakers. Auto filter gives you movement and phrase automation. Utility handles mono and width control. Drum bus can add punch to the mid or res layers if you want more bite. Compressor or glue compressor can glue the bass together lightly, but be careful not to squash the life out of it. A really important point here: keep the sub clean and centered. If you widen the sub, the low end can fall apart on big systems. Let the movement happen in the upper layers. Now let's turn the loop into something that actually feels arranged. Think in 8-bar blocks. Intro, drop, variation, turnaround. That's a very natural D&B structure. In the intro, maybe you only use the sub or a filtered texture. Keep it minimal. Let the listener feel that the bass is coming without revealing everything at once. In the main drop, bring in the full rack. That's where the sub, mid, res, and texture all work together. For the variation, change one or two things. Maybe you mute the texture for the first half, then bring it back. Maybe the res only appears on the last two beats. Maybe the last note changes to a different ending note, like moving from the root to the fifth or dropping to a semitone below for tension. For the turnaround, create a short reset moment. You can mute the res for a beat, leave the sub and drums breathing, then bring everything back on the next downbeat. That kind of small break makes the section feel much bigger. Automation is what makes this come alive. Automate filter cutoff so the bass opens and closes with the phrase. Automate res level so it comes forward during a variation. Automate texture level if you want more or less top-end movement. Automate drive if you want the bass to get rougher at the end of a section. You can even automate stereo width on the upper layers to make the drop feel wider than the intro. Here's a good rule: don't automate just to show off. Automate for a reason. Maybe the intro is filtered and restrained, then the drop opens up. Maybe the last bar of an 8-bar section gets brighter and more aggressive. That gives your changes musical purpose. Now check the bass against the drums. This is where a lot of beginner bass lines fall apart. The bass might sound huge in solo, but once the kick and snare come in, it can feel crowded. So listen in context early. If the bass masks the snare, shorten the bass note, remove a note before the snare, or reduce the mid and res layers around that area. You can also use light sidechain compression, but keep it subtle. Jungle and rolling D&B usually feel better with a natural groove than with heavy EDM-style ducking. Now for a really useful pro move: resample it. Once the bass phrase feels good, bounce or resample it to audio. Record 4 or 8 bars into a new audio track using resampling. Then slice it, rearrange it, reverse a hit, or chop it into edits. That's how you move from a loop to an edit-style workflow. It gives you more control, and can make the bass feel more like a performance than a static MIDI pattern. A few common mistakes to avoid: don't make the bass too wide, keep the sub mono, don't overcrowd the pattern. More notes does not mean more power. Don't let all the layers occupy the same frequency range. Don't distort the sub too much. Don't forget the drums. Bass and drums are a team. Don't leave the loop unchanged for the whole track. Arrangement matters. And if you hear clicks at note ends, clean them up with shorter envelopes or tiny fades. Here's the bigger coaching idea behind all of this. A good jungle bass rack is more about controlled contrast than raw size. If everything is loud all the time, nothing feels powerful. Let one layer handle the weight, another handle the note identity, another handle the motion, and another handle the attitude. That separation is what makes the mix feel punchy and clear. If you want to level this up even more, Try a few variation tricks. Change the last note of every second bar. Swap the last two hits on the repeat. Mute one layer for a beat before the snare. Add a quiet ghost note between the main hits. Drop in one higher octave accent at the end of a phrase. Those tiny changes can make a loop feel written instead of copied. And if you want the rack to feel more original, use subtle pitch drift on the upper layers, or duplicate one chain and process it aggressively as a dirty copy. Bandpass it, distort it, compress it, and keep it low in the mix. That can add attitude without destroying clarity. So here's your quick practice challenge. Build a 2-bar jungle bass rack in Ableton Lev 12 at 174 BPM in F minor. Use at least 3 layers. Write a bass line with 6 to 8 notes. Add one filter automation move. Then make one variation in bar 2. If you want the bonus challenge, keep the sub constant, change the mid rhythm, bring the reese in only at the end, and automate the texture layer. Then resample the result.